Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to this session. So this is going to be mostly in English with a little of Nepali thrown in. I hope you don't mind. My name is Sabin Nigleku. I'm a researcher based in social science bar. I'm also a member of Heritage as Place Making, the research project. If one were to pick a few names to educate us about the urban history of the Kathmandu Valley, including some of the keystone issues that surround planning and governance as it relates to everything from the heritage to the slum, one would have to pick Padmasundar Joshi as the doyen of knowledge, who is the speaker for the day, and it is my honor, pleasure and excitement to be sharing the stage with PSR, as he's also popularly referred to as. PSR wears many hats. He was, for the longest time, he led the UN Habitat Nepal office from 2010 to 2021. He is currently the Vice President of Madan Bhandari University of Science and Technology. He also serves as the advisor to the Lalitpur Metropolitan City Office in the same capacity as the advisor to the city office. He was active in the 2000s to the Kathmandu Metropolitan City Office. Prior to which, he also served as an associate professor at the Pulsok Institute of Engineering, Tribhuvan University, Nepal's oldest and probably the largest public university, going by the number of students enrolled to the university. I often refer to PSR's words and wisdom to untangle many issues that surround us in the city. Like I said, he is as much of a practitioner as he is a bearer of knowledge. He has also, in the past, been an active member of, or in the common parlance, protesters in one or two critical movements that has shaped the trajectory of Nepal's stress with democracy. In the most recent times, it's been a year perhaps, he's produced this fabulous book called Heti Pranali, which in English loosely translates into traditional water system, of which we might touch upon as we go along. So without further ado, I would like to hand over the mic to you, and off we go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sabinji, and thank you so very much for inviting me to this presentation here. This is not what I learned in the university, nor I have studied there or read in books. It's most of the things are my experience. Like yours, that when you walk in the street, what you see, and that is what I try to just reflect what I understood from that, try to experience my sharing, my understanding with you. So not necessarily what I'm saying here is perfectly correct, but that is my observation, how the city has grown and how the cities could be managed. The could be managed will be a little bit less in my presentation. Mostly I'm trying to reflect how the towns were developed and what were the purposes and how it is managed. And at the end, I will also try to touch upon a little bit on what are the more needed things in common days in the present context. So as Salimji said, that I will be speaking in English, but in the meantime, there are several things that maybe I'll be more clearer in Nepali, right? So I'll be changing the things, so please bear with me. Well, he said that I used to be an associate professor, I used to be a teacher in the Institute of Engineering, so I don't feel comfortable sitting here and talking with you like this. I'm not a storyteller. So I will rather stand up and try to explain the things along with the slides. With your permission. Thank you. Well, these slides, actually I prepared a long time back. I was working on, when we are talking about sustainable cities, what kind of cities could be sustainable? To be a sustainable city, or in other words, we also like to call it an eco-city, then how that eco-city dimensions are there compared to what we have in these newer towns. So that is what I'm trying to explain here. So several of those slides are more with this sustainable cities concept. So let me start with three basic areas or components of a sustainable cities. What would be the strategic framework? One is definitely a livable city. A livable city, which is more about the place and people living there, the spatial dimension. That is what I'll be discussing. And second is a responsible city. How responsible are we with the environment, with the ecosystem that we are living in, the ecological aspect of it, and the placemaking, the process dimension, and the third one is the participatory dimension, or the governance dimension, that is how making it vibrant. We all enjoy festivities. Every time there are so many things happening in the streets, but have they something to do with the city management? That is what the part I'm trying to explore, the way the city that we observe, that we enjoy, that we live in. So that is what would be in my presentation. I'll be talking a little bit more on, you know, being a civil engineer, more in that place. More on these spatial dimensions and also on governance dimensions, little bit on this process dimension because of the time. Well, when we talk about Kathmandu Valley, many of my friends have already seen this, so please bear with me, there are many repetitions. That is, if you see the historical development of this Kathmandu Valley, Nepal Mandala, how we call it, we have got a history of Kirans, Lichibis, Malas. Even before Kirans, there were Mahispal, Gopal Bansa, and etc. Those were there, but we are more talking about then after. And when we see this, Kathmandu Valley is very, very old city, or old town, however you like to call it. Cities of Kathmandu Valley emerged as a Kiran settlements, and that was flourished by the Lichibis, and it was more very expanded, and it was more developed during the Malla period. So that is what we see during this course of history. We see the Kathmandu Valley has developed, and the name of Kathmandu Valley actually is Nepal, which was borrowed later to name the whole country. So in earlier days, when I was a kid, even people from the mountains, they would say that, well, I'm going to go to Nepal. So, meaning going to go to Kathmandu. And why this Kathmandu Valley is so much important, why that civilization flourished here. The economic dimension, if you see, there are two major dimensions. One is the Indo-Tibet trade. Until 1930s, 80% of the trade of Tibet was controlled by Kathmandu Valley. From here we were controlling that. But after when the Britishers built this Kalimpong road to reach to Tibet, then we lose all. Even if you go to Saku, nowadays you will find a post where they used to tie the mules to carry away all those goods from Kathmandu Valley. So that was the one of the economic base, and the second one is very, very fertile soil of Kathmandu. The soil is so fertile. Now, once in my master's study, I was looking into what is the fertility, and at the time, it is in the 90s, early 90s, and they said that, you know, just the paddy, if you take the case of paddy, it is 2 tons per hectare is the average production rate in Nepal on those days in the 90s, early 90s. And at that time, without even irrigation, the production rate of Kathmandu Valley is 7 tons per hectare. That will just give you the example how fertile the soil is. Because of that, all this wealth is created and the whole civilization is built here in Kathmandu Valley. So these are the trade routes. Well, if you see the towns, I will give examples of here and there. This is Kathmandu, the city of Kathmandu. That is, you know, in the 9th century, this settlement took a real kind of formal shape. And they believe that it was developed as the shape of a, what you call, kharga. How do you call it in kharga in English? It's not sword. There's some other words, but I've heard about it. It's similar to sword. It's a sword of, what you call, Mahalakshmi. So, and they have 33 tolls of the neighborhoods surrounded like this. And that is how this was built, reorganized. But if you see in 11th or 12th century. But before that, this town is much, much before that. Now they have already, the historians, the archaeologists have already confirmed that Kashtamandap was built in 7th century, at least in 7th century. That means the settlement was much, much before there. It was there. So, and it was something like that. When the towns were developed, this was the spread. Here is to be Lavan. For the Nepali colleagues, they will know that. Lavan. And here is what you call Wanga, meaning Indasok. And here is Dhamma. And they have just this trade route. And later on, this was developed, and it was developed like during the Malda period, it was with a gridiron pattern. All roads were added. And that is how the city was expanded. This is how the cities were developed. And it is not only Kathmandu, Patan, and Bhaktapur. There are more than 4 dozen of small towns, satellite towns, that is surrounded, that is incorporated into Kathmandu Valley, including Balipak, Ulikel, and Nala, Panoti, etc. So, but these towns are, when they develop these towns are not, you know, they could have expanded. Just, I just want to give you an example of Patan. Patan ends in the south at Lavan Hill, we all know, right? We could have extended that. Now we have extended, it has already reached Tapakam. The extension is Tapakam. They could have done that at a time, but they didn't. Wisely they didn't do that. And what they did was, instead of that, they bring additional population to another town. And that is how they developed this satellite town. For example, the Kirtipur. If you go to Kirtipur, they will trace their history back to Harigaon. So from Harigaon, people migrated to Kirtipur instead of expanding that. And instead of Lalitpur expanding, there are many people, almost half of the population in Chini are migrated from Patan, right? Or in Bode, it is from Bhaktapur. Like that, if you go through those settlements, you see that they want to have a particular size of population that is manageable, otherwise they create another town, rather than the way that the NADL growth of Kathmandu Valley That is what we see nowadays.
So, the town planning concept of the Newars at that time is it's more with the ecological limits, and it's a progression to progress, the quest for progress. That based on that, they have developed this town plans. The concept is mainly on towns in medieval time were understood as a representation of micro universe, meaning that that universe where you have everything there itself, you don't have to rely on others. That is the concept of the town planning. So every township, wherever you go, one way or other, they are relied on themselves. So that was one of the concepts. And they try to follow the mandala pattern to some extent. At least in the conceptually, the old town plans are developed in a mandala pattern. I will explain you a little bit more later. And then from the ecological viewpoint, there are three concentric circles are there to develop these towns. One is the human domain, where the centrally the cluster of people, like in Patan, in Bhaktapur, in any of the Newar towns, you see that. And the human domain is there. It is surrounded by agriculture domain, and human domain is always in the higher elevation. Agriculture domain, and it is again surrounded by natural domain or behind domain. So this is how the towns are developed. And if you see in a cross section, this is what you see: the human settlement here and agricultural land in the surrounding, and you have the forest and other natural resources there. And so it is obviously guided by the resource conservation approach. We call the tar land, the elevated land, where the settlement is, whereas the fertile soil land is left for agricultural purpose. And they have it is also because to protect it from the flood and landslide type of thing. So they would like to have the settlement up there. And the protection, that is also strategically, and again, from the military, against their enemies, they would also like to stay there, live there in the higher elevation. And that is why these are clustered settlements. When you have got a clustered settlement, meaning that we have to live closer to each other, definitely there is a new dimension. Qualitative changes are there. So what are those qualitative changes? And that is what I said, that making a placemaking is happening. And to make it vibrant, then we add other governance factors. So, few of them, I will just try to point out here, the integration of private and public interest for common benefits. This is the most important thing. You live in community, but you have got private things to be done. What is the demarcation between private and public? That is very much important. We don't know, nowadays what we say is, in my ownership certificate, I have the Tarana land, and meaning that this must have land, and that is mine. No, in those days, that is not true. They have public, in terms of private, within private, they have got public things also. For effective and efficient resource management, these private interests are sacrificed for communal belief. Have you ever seen in other cities? I have never seen, but here, this is the property of a person, but this road, this walkway going through is public. You can't claim. You have got the land, you have got the ownership certificate of the whole land, but still, this is public. Right? And this is the front of this house, this is actually private land, but they are so happy to donate that to make it public, to make a party. Nowadays, it doesn't happen. They would like to have a shutter, the shop there. But that is how. Or a saga, if you see. These are the thing. And just to mention the two or three words here. These lands are, again, multiple use in a temporal, in a day time, in a single day, in 24 hours. The purpose is different. The use is different. And similarly, just try to explain two or three words here. Gola, Dranga, and Pringa. These are the term from Kirat time. This is not Sanskrit. This is more from Kirat time.
The settlements are called Gola, Dronga and Pringa. This is a small scattered settlement, Gola, and then it takes a form of a bigger town, and then Pringa is a larger town, just like Khopringa, right? Khopa, what we say, what's called Chimringa, like Chini. Those are the bigger towns. So that is how they used to distinguish, and later we used to call it Desa or De. Like nowadays, many people say that, okay, Kokana is the guy, Kokana Gaon, Kokana Lai or something, Gaon Mondra Bansa. And Bunga Mati like Gaon Mondra Bansa. Gaon Panchayat Bansa. Actually, it is not village, it's a town. That is why we say, in Newar language, what we say is Kona De, Bunga De. De, because De is short from De. त्यसरी त्यसलाई टाउन भनेर बुझ्नु चाहिँ जरुरी छ. यो मैले म्यानेजमेन्टको आस्पेक्टबाट भन्दैछु नि, सो इम्पोर्टेन्ट टु अन्डरस्ट्यान्ड द्याट दोज आर द टाउन. सो या सो नाउ लेट मी टक लिटल बिट मोर अबाउट दिस स्पेसियल फङ्सन विदिन द टाउन. सो विदिन द टाउन, प्लेस मेकिङ इन नेवार टाउन इज एज आई सेड, there should be a demarcation between public and private. And what distinguishes, and that is what we call tikalahu, this one. People going outside the home, it's a public place. So if you are going outside, if a woman has to go out, they will just pull their, what you call, the salt to put in, so because they are going in the public. Or these lines, this actually, this pikalaku, this mandala, separates the house. Inside is their private, outside is their public. That is very much important. Whenever, if you see how many rituals or activities, you just notice it that this separates public and private. And similarly, fada, so these parties I just mentioned about, that the even if this is the private property of this house, they are very happy to donate that for the public function. Anybody can go and sleep there. No, yeah, they can enjoy, they can rest, they can they stay there, play cards, whatever. Of the children play, they do it. And similarly, the saga is a common courtyard, a small pit where the neighboring all houses throw their waste, and these waste are time and again collected after it is composted and it is taken to the agricultural land. That is again a resource management aspect. And you see the areas. In the Newar towns, if you, I don't know, many of you must have observed that in our childhood we never go to our friend's house in the office space. We just go to the courtyard and there's our friend come outside, we would like to talk. And our meeting room is there. This is where we meet. We don't need a kind of a living room. That is very modern thing for us. Our living room is that. Sorry. Our living room is there. Everybody comes and nobody, I dare to go upstairs without, very hesitantly I will go upstairs in my friend's house. That's quite common because that's their private area and this is our public area. So we don't need a big room, a living room to meet our friends. And that is how that space is managed. And that is how, and otherwise, you see, all the people are just gossiping and doing that, but the street space is already utilized so much, using the spaces. And as I said, it's a town is normally a gated town, and it is the gated town with hierarchy of roads. It is, you may not have observed that. Now you will notice there are several hierarchy of the row of roads are there. Like you see, this hierarchy is with the space that is in a hierarchy. The highest level is Darbar Square, or the what we call in Layaku in Newari. Layaku is the highest order of the square, and then the market square, and then the neighborhood square, and then you have got the residential square. And I will try to explain you why these are so different. you will observe that it's very interestingly this hierarchy of the squares are being used for public purposes.
Now, I have to give credit for this photo to our friend. Where is he? Meen. Yeah, this is the photo from Meen Bhattacharya. So, this is Kathmandu Darbar Square.
So this is Kathmandu Darbar. You see that several of it's the nucleus of the town. And all the festivities have to start from there, or end there, or cross there. That has to be done. That is why that is important. And royal court there, that is why it is so important. And all major roads, major shrines are also there. Ekdamai important mandir huncha tyaha. Tyo mandir chai ekdamai important hisabale huncha. Ra Kathmandu ko, let me ask in Nepali to my colleagues, what is the most important temple in Kathmandu Darbar Square?
Maru Ganesh.
Yeah. Talendu is there. Talendu is dedicated by the king. The king says, thinks that it is the highest and tallest and biggest and whatever. But for people, the small temple, even without that, what you call pinnacle, no? Without pinnacle, and that in the corner, that is the most important. So in Newar culture, it is not important by size. It is important by belief. Wow, people respect that. So here also, you see all those things. And the most interesting, fascinating thing here is, if you have ever thought in that way, I don't know, you must have observed, you must have walked through this road several times, I don't know how many times. But if I walk here, when I reach from Mahan, when I reach to this place, what I see is I am just attracted by a big temple, Talendu temple. I see nothing. I am so much impressed with this temple. And then, little bit I go, then I forget about temple and I will see something here, Mahadev temple, right? They call it Pashupati also, the Mahadev temple. And then once we cross the Mahadev, then comes the Kalbhairav. You see Kalbhairav, you see nothing, Kalbhairav. And after crossing Kalbhairav, you see this big bell and on the other side, the entrance of Hanuman Loka. Then you cross it, you see another temple and another temple. Every time when you see in front, you forget about what you have seen back there. So that kind of excitement is always there in the streets while you are walking. And you continue that, you go up to the end, you see all those changes. That is the, you know, yeah, if I have gone several times to finish, the boulevards are so impressive, so big. So what? It's monotonous. Now, here monotony is not there. That is the beauty of this town. I'm sorry, that is good for several other reasons, but if you see from the... And this is the lesson I think the architects should learn from our townships, how to make the towns. All not the grid-iron pattern things. It's something else that gives life. We are talking about living city, living town. So, and that is also this is Bhaktapur and this is Patan. And you will always see these double E's there for the popular. Huh? Yeah. The states of the stone, yeah, the temples are already the place where you can watch the functions that is happening. Now coming to the market square, it is not like that all the streets, but there are major two streets that will be crossing that. Now whether you go to this, I think, Dattatreya Square, or you go to the Sundara Nuga in Patan here, what you see is there are two major road crosses and there is an open space where many festivities take place. And but this is not necessarily for the whole town, but more for the local people, right? This market square. And this market square, you have got all selling and buying, vegetable buying, vegetable selling, and every other activities also happens here. But during the festivities, these are also equally important places where the double E's and all sort of those things are there. So if you see in Lalitpur, now this is the market square and you can see several of, sorry, this is the Darbar square and there are several of these market squares. Now, with that, we again come to Nevarut, or the toll, or in Nevar we call it Twa, right? The toll squares. And in these toll squares, it is very difficult to distinguish which toll starts where and ends where. It's really difficult. I tried once when I was introducing the metric adjusting system in Kathmandu metropolitan city, it was really a difficult thing. But there's a very interesting demarcation, and that is what they call this Ganesha. It is called Sthan Ganesh, right? Sthan Ganesh means the Ganesh of that place, meaning that every household who, when they have got their wedding ceremony and they bring their bride to home, then if they go and respect this god, meaning that is from that toll. So this is one of the indicators. Like the Buddha, if you see this Nani and all this road going there and elongate, expanded and again narrow down, these kind of things you can see in many, many places. Widened road, large courtyards or cluster of courtyards. And this brings more, and normally we used to have Sathal, Kapati or Sathal, the public building here, and Sthan Ganesh, as I said. And this is actually, there's a very good book written by Mohan Murthy Panta. And it's about Chini. I borrowed that from that book. And he has tried to go each and every house and try to see who are living there and who belongs to which neighborhood and all. And these different colors show that different toll of the neighborhood. And that is how this can be distinguished. Or I was trying to show you. Even if this house is next to this, this doesn't. This house is next to this house, but this is another toll and this is another neighborhood. And there are so many things diverse. One, that they are from the different neighborhood. Like, let me show you. Like this, the upper one is one neighborhood and this is the middle neighborhood and here comes the lower neighborhood. That is Marutwa and this is Tatutwa and that is Inayatwa. The toll is different. The main road is here. The main road doesn't distinguish the neighborhood. So this is how the settlements are formed in Nevar towns. Sorry. Okay. And within that toll, we will still have what we call the residential squares, like this. So there are so many residential squares. And let me come to another type of public space that is so important and which the cities in Kathmandu have lost quite a lot. That is what we call chow or khel or open ground. Normally every city, every town will have their open ground next to it. And that open ground has a ecological responsibility to be fulfilled for the town. And this is just like it's like a lung of the compact settlement. And in the earthquake of 2015, all the people were living here. If this ground would not have been there, then we can think. It's not only these people, even since the first ground is not there in this expansion on the other side, in the eastern side, some particular people were coming here to stay during the earthquake. Because they don't have job. But in Kathmandu, they have this. And it is not only in Kathmandu, in Padan you have got Daulakhel, you have got Lalankhel. No, there are even this place. Where this building is? This building is in Bolachaw. No? Bolachaw is the chaw. Actually, now we have enclosed this and built this gigantic building. But this is the open space of that time. So, and the main purpose of this is recharging the ground. It's an open space, it's a grazing yard, right? So, the retarding function, you normally find water bodies there. here and there you will find the water bodies. And why this is so important is it is a part of the whole ecosystem. And now these are about the species. Now I will try to go little bit on, not much on this resource management. Resource management, you know, the agriculture is so important. And for this agriculture to conserve that, as I said, showed you earlier, there was the settlement is there and the agriculture land is next to where that can be easily irrigated. So this is how this irrigation and these things takes place. So land management is an important component there. Energy management equally important. How we conserve, how we use passive solar design, as an engineer and architect, people can understand how these clustered settlements, you still enjoy sunlight. That is very important. And water management and waste management. And we not only serve ourselves, we also serve the birds and, you know, you have got Kartihar, you have got भ्याहुदालाई भात्ताउने भनेर बिहान जानु त्यो भनेर आउँदैछ होइन इभन भ्याहुद इभन फर द क्रप दे आर गट अ डेज इन इन आवर टाउन्स दे अफर फुड फर फर द क्रप बिकज दे सपोर्ट इन द इको सिस्टम एन्ड यु हेभ तिहार मोस्ट अफ द टाइम पिपल थिङ्क अबाउट तिहार भेरी इन्जोय देट बट हेभ यु एभर थट अबाउट वाइ दिज फ्रुट्स आर देयर दिज आर अवर इन्डिजिनियस फ्रुट. Unfortunately, now it is being replaced by new exported varieties and everything is coming up. But you see that the sati base, right? Small, what you call, katush, come from that walnut. And all those things are our traditional food and that is being conserved into this system and that into our culture. So it is the culture which is conserving all those type of things. Let me not go to this energy, it will take time. Let me now come to participatory part. I think this is the one which you would like to like most going through your title of the course that we are, that is going on. That is participatory management in Newar towns. One problem with the Newars is they do not say things directly. Even if you are hungry, you will never say, I am hungry. So they will say that, okay, you want to eat something? No, no, it's okay. And you have to force three or four times and they will say that, okay, okay.
I think it's a Nepali problem.
I think it is more with the Newars, right? Without that, they will not say, even if you are hungry, they will say, no, I'm not. So, but they do not only that, there are several other cultural practices that you don't say directly. If you say that, okay, go and do this, then, oh, you are ordering me. But if you say something in different way, oh, you are be so happy to do that thing. And that is where the festivals comes in, public management. First is, beliefs are converted into rituals to manage public goods. The beliefs, right? Second is, Olympia region is not sought in operation and management. Olympia, you are so happy, I would like to contribute. They do that, but that is not sustainable. That would be the one-time job. So, to make it sustainable, Olympia region is not sufficient. That is what the Newars understand. And third is, community feelings are developed and maintained as per the service level. I'm talking about as for the service level. So I'll talk about the service level a little bit later. And then competition and enjoyment are needed into the duties and responsibilities. So there are competitions. You perform as a competitor, but you are doing something else. Right? So you are serving the community. That is what is inbuilt in the Newar culture. And of course, when I say belief, you know, this is an example. This is a handwritten sketch from the handwritten book where you see these two hands saying that you are not supposed to open inside this. And that belief is so strong, people say that if you go inside, they have given this reason, for a good reason, they are saying that because this is so complex structure, don't open that. That was the meaning. But What they do is, since that hand is there, there is a belief that, okay, if I open, I will die vomiting blood or something like that, right? So they never dare to open it up. Like that, those kind of beliefs are being built in the community. Or, you see, copper script of alkalinity, where it's written that you are not supposed to do this and that, and all, everything is written, and if you do that, the serpents will get angry, Vasukinag will get angry, and you will be losing everything here, and you will have that sin, not only for this generation, for five generations, something like that. So, and people believe that, and they do not do bad things, or incorrect things. And one king did it. That is what I'm trying to show you. One king did it. The story goes like this. You know Pratap Malla, Nepalese guys, they all know Pratap Malla from Kathmandu. And he wants to conquer Bhaktapur, and he went to Bhaktapur and he started fighting with the Bhaktapurians. And then, but he could not get inside the wall. It's a walled city. And he tried, and after 3 months, he was so fed up, and he gave up. And when he was coming back, he destroyed the pond, and there was this kind of post was there, and on top of post there was the sculpture of a Naga, and that he took it and came to Kathmandu. Many people think that Pratap Malla built Rani Pokhari because to please her wife, right? And why her wife was in sorrow? Because her 2-3 sons were dying one after another. And to do that, why he is building Rani Pokhari is actually he destroyed the pond in the Siddhapuhu and took all these things, and this is in Kathmandu Dharmaskar. He put that, he looted this, and now he erected here. Then, his son, one after another, start dying, he felt that, okay, the thing written here is pretty correct. So I should be, I should do something good for that, and that is why he built Rani Pokhari. So these beliefs are so strong, that is what I'm trying to say. Well, now talking about public management, there are 3 levels of management. Family level, community level, and state level. Let me go with that. At family level first. So, at utilizing the belief system, right? Nag Puja, feeding the serpent, Kshama Puja, these are a very common thing for the Nevars. And not only for the Nevars, also many of the Nepalese or other ethnic groups are also practicing that. But I give you my story. When I get ill, when I was a kid, my mother used to take me to somebody who knows these things, right? They will say that I'm Guwadu, all those hanky-panky things, I don't know what. And they will say that, oh, you have got the Nagados. You have got the course of Nag. If I translate it correctly, I don't know how it is called. And then, what I need to do is going back to home, and my mother would be telling me, shouting at me, saying that you must have tea next to the water bodies. And that is what, on those days, the major disease are waterborne diseases. Right? And you have to take care of water bodies. And you clean it up. That is what we do. And this is what they are doing here. This is cleaning and to please the Nagas, we put this certain type of things and we try to clean it up. And nowadays people forget all those things, but the puja is there, but cleaning is okay. But that is how the family used to take responsibility of managing the things. And another very important thing is this Devu Puja. We call it Devu Puja or Devu Puja. It's a Devu Puja. That is what I was explained. What is Devu Puja? I think many of you know that, but let me try to explain a little bit from the different angle. these two terms, day and gun, is day means day, means a town, right? And gun is a forest. The forest of the town, the puja that is that happens in the forest of the town. So day gun puja is every caste, every clan will have their own day gun puja. And that Devu Puja, that is normally a ground, a water body, and a surrounding area. Like, if you go to Tunikhel, if you go to Laganhel, if you go to any of the hills, you will find those kind of things. Right? And there, actually this Puja is, in my understanding, is nothing but conserving these areas. You are not supposed to do anything there. You go, you pray, you worship, and you come. And when you do that, during the driest month of a year, and you go there, you do that. And you are not supposed to construct anything. The God, you know, the Nevars are so good in making sculptures, but in their own Devu Puja, they do not have sculptures. They will have just a stone from a river. At most, they will have something of these, what we call Toran, right? Nothing more than that. And even that, it's so ecologically correct that even this stone can stop the flow of the wind. That is why they have a small holes there. I mean, they say, Hanuman Shudhu Parta, Bayu Shudhu Parta, Bhanera, Pwali Yoda Dai Rakhi Gunta. You keep Pani Chakna Undayla Bhanera, Pwali Yoda Dai Rakhi Gunta. Bhaniko Matlab Ki Honi, Kya Kuna, Yesu Kuna Hi Mandir. Yatro Banam Sakne Hale, Yatro Mandir Banam, Pastali Mandir Banam Sakne Hale, Aapno Devu Puja Bala Ki Yoda Mandir Banam Sakne Hale, सबैले गर्थ्यो होला तर न गर्न पाइँदैन किनभने यो चाहिँ प्राकृतिक रूपमै छोड्नुपर्छ यो प्राकृतिक रूपमा राख्नुपर्छ भनेर यस्ता खालका कुराहरू हामीले गर्थ्यौँ होइन अब तर अब अनफोर्चुनेटली अब अहिले त मैले भनिहालेँ त्यसै छ अनि यहाँको मैले कथा सुनेको थिएँ यहाँ कति गएको पूजा हुन्थ्यो अनि यो ज्यापु समाज यो गुठी के अरे यो बिल्डिङ त्यसलाई कतै अन्त सार्नुपर्ने अवस्था आयो सार्ने र नसार्नेको बिचमा त्यहाँ निकै लामो झगडा पनि भएको थियो कति नगरपालिकाले पेलेर सक्थ्यो सार्थ्यो तर यो भनेको चाहिँ हाम्रो कन्जर्भेसनको एउटा प्र्याक्टिस हो हाउ यु कन्जर्भ द थिङ्स न जस्ट वान अर टू एक्जाम्पल न दिस इज द प्लेस दिस इज द नेचर इन पाटन इफ एनीबडी अफ यु नो द्याट दिस इज बिहाइन्ड वाट यु कल द पाटन औद्योगिक क्षेत्रको पछाडि चाहिँ न्यायक्ष भन्ने छ त्यो न्यायक्षको हो अब अहिले न्यायक्षमा यसरी चाहिँ जबरजस्तीसँग चाहिँ यसरी राखेर सबै बाटो सटो बनाएर पठाइदिएको छ अहिले एउटा मुद्दा भइरहेको छ सरी अहिले स्पिक लिटिल बिट इन इङ्ग्लिस आज त इन नेपाली मुद्दा भइरहेको छ के युवाहरूको चाहिँ हाम्रो बुटी हाम्रो देव पूजा गर्ने चाहिँ मिचियो होला अहिले भयो तपाईँले सोसियल मिडियामा देखिराख्नु भएको होला यही ठाउँमा हो यो भनेको यो ठुर भयो पुर्सोको यहाँबाट धम्सिका जाने बाटो हो यो सबै छ भइसक्यो यो त मेरो विचारमा यो ठुलो हुनुपर्थ्यो यो राणाले दरबार बनाउँदाखेरि यो सबै मिचेर खाइदियो होइन तर यो सानो टुक्रा हुँदाखेरि यहाँ पुरै देवाली गर्ने पूजा गर्ने ठाउँहरू छ अब त्यो चाहिँ अहिले हुँदाभन्दा त्यहाँ के होटल रेस्टुरेन्टदेखि लिएर सबै इम्पोज गरेको छ जबकि यो एउटा प्राकृतिक रूपमा बचाउनुको लागि राखेको कुरा हो होइन अब अल्टिमेटली हेर्नुहोस् न यहाँ देवाली चाहिँ यहाँ रिटेनिङ स्ट्रक्चर बनाएर यहाँ सबै गरेको छ यो चाहिँ त्यहाँ महालक्ष्मी छानिएर हिजो अस्ति भर्खर मेरो सुन्दर हामी गएको थियौँ हेर्छु त यो बाटोमा यो एकदम अप्ठ्यारो भइरहेको छ अब यो कुन चाहिँ सिडिओ आउँछ अनि उसले भन्छ यो बेक्काको यो टिकाम राखेर यस्ता दसवटा छ लगेर अन्त राख्दैन भनेर भन्छ तर यो राखेको कारण चाहिँ उनीहरूले बुझ्न सक्दैन द अदर फ्यामिली प्र्याक्टिस इज अगेन पाँच अरे इज कमिङ very soon. In that festival, what we do is, we call it Tika Chaturdashi, according to lunar calendar. And there, what we do is, Luku Mahadeva ko puja garne bhanera bhanchau haina. Tyasbela, what we do? We go to our courtyard, outside our house, and try to find out a stone, and we bring the stone, and we put it there, and we worship. We put away all those rituals, we offer these things, and then we have our feast. We remember that. But what we do not remember is why this was done at the beginning. It was done actually to clean up our courtyard. So as I said, the Newark do not like orders, right? Ordered by some other people. So what they said, okay, one of the tantric at the time would have said that, okay, there is the Mahadev, the God is there which is being buried under the waste, so you have to take it out, clean up, it's the Mahadev, it's the God. So you have to take it out, clean it up, and you do the rituals. And definitely, when they clean it up, meaning they are cleaning their courtyard. So that is how these festivals come up to clean up the area. And now coming to community level management, place to make community living. To me, community living, as I said earlier, Falda, it's a community living, even if it is a private. And if you see the day, that the whole hours of a day, if it's divided into morning, afternoon, evening, or whatever, you'll see that the children are playing there. And after some while, when there is a sun, the elderly will be there basking there, sitting in the sun, as you see everywhere. You will not see in any of the cities in the world, as far as I know. I have been to many cities, but you don't find these kind of places where people laugh and people talk, and it's a private land given for the public purpose. And then in the evening, again, you have the father in the same pattern. So same places, and again, if the women have to wash the clothes, they will come here, put their water, and they do that. And if they need to, dry their grain, they will do that. All these multifunctional, multipurpose use you see in the community. And very interestingly, I noticed this. This is my wife. This is my small kid now. She's big enough. She's no more with us now. But I while preparing this slide, I saw this picture. I did not take this photo for that purpose. But what I noticed is, there's a small hole here, right? That hole. This is from Bhaktapur. You see that hole? And this party is not only for human beings. This is for the dogs to sleep. Right? These are for the dogs to sleep. So we are living the organisms all in harmony. That was seen in our project town. And you see that this is from Kokana. So every courtyard, every place people are playing, working, doing whatever they need to do, all things are done in public. So it's Newars are famous for doing things. It's a public space management is so important. Now during the festival, these W's will be used for the performances, demonstrations, performances. And during the time of harvesting, they are drying their grains. Nowadays, I think, they would like to take it out because the car doesn't go straight and sort of things happen, but that is the case. And another is very popular. Now tomorrow is the day, what we say, World Water Day. For the Newars, for the Nepalese, it is not tomorrow is the water day. We'll have City Napa actually is our water day, where all the community comes together and start cleaning wells, cleaning heaties, and everything that is done. That's community. Nobody is paid for that. Nobody is requested for that. They all gather, they come together and try to do that. And they believe that there is Kumar. They call it the Kumar Shashti, right? That's the birthday of Kumara. And Kumara is the god of rain. So that's the baby of rain. So Kumar Shakti is actually, they say, Dharam Kusha. Dharam Kusha means, Dhara means rain or water. Ankush means, it's a seed. It's a seed of rain that starts from that day. And after that, there will be no, festivities for the Newars for, I think, 2 months, right? That's the time of transition. So no more, the rituals and all those things. You have got the time to work in the field. And this is how it is done. And otherwise we have got a Guti system. The Guti system is a system where people do not believe their sons and daughters, but believe in community, and they they donate it to the community to establish, to do certain functions, be it a puja, be it a management of a temple, maintenance of a temple, maintenance of a city, whatever. So this is how, once I have got, let's say, 10 rupees of land, let's say the half a hectare of land, then I will give that in that booty, or it's a kind of trust, where we donate that to the trust, and once it is donated, it is public, it's not private. And even my son cannot say that, okay, this is my father gave it, so I would like to take it back. They can't say that. That is how even this booty system is coming from the time of Lichiri period. I don't know, even it was there in Kinar period, but from Lichiri period, with the inscriptions, we can say that that system was already there, and it is still surviving. And another important point is, when I talk about public places, is tapa. This is very much I observed in Patan. I don't know much in Kathmandu or Bhaktapur, but in Patan, although this picture is from Bhaktapur. These are, I think this is also from Bhaktapur, and this one is from Patan, from Chattel, very nearby place. And this tapa is, party and tapa, halka and tapa, there's a difference is, tapa is double story or multi-story, party is single story. But here, the community owns that. And this is such a strong asset for them that unites the whole community. If they have got a wedding ceremony, they have got, there's so many other functions, they will have feast here. So, but nowadays, even in Patan, the community feeling is much more stronger compared to Kathmandu. It's mainly, in my opinion, it's mainly because of these tapa. This tapa owned by them, and where they have this unity, and nowadays in many places this has been replaced by multi-storied structures, and then again they rent out some spaces, the earnings are utilized for public purposes, right? That is how these tapas are done. Now, at the end, there is state level management. Managing the upstream elements. Meaning, when you have, for example, if there is something happening in my family, I will be responsible. If something is happening in my neighbor's family, they will be responsible. But if there are some common things we need to do, the community has to be responsible. But if something to be done, here we are in chapel, but something has to be done in Mangal Bazar, nobody would be responsible, would be interested. The interest level will be very, very low to go and work for Mangal Bazar from chapel. But there are many things that has got an impact on the whole town, whole city. Then at that level, then we try to get the collective responsibilities, and that is where comes the managing the upstream elements. Like for example, the Rajkulo, the irrigation canal, that needs to be mended. That needs to be maintained. If you need to maintain that, not a single community would could do that. It's so such a big huge task. So the whole community has to go there. Whole town has to go there. Go to maintain that. So in that way, if you see that this state level management practices, you can see. And for that purpose, many festivals are created. And these festivals are, it's enjoyable, it is there, but mainly faith and beliefs are needed into to make people come together to work on that. For example, Jatra, the festivities. What you see that this is in Toka, or this is in Harigaon, this is in Kirtipur, and this is in Banepa, and this is in Kathmandu. So all these festivities, if you try to understand minutely, if you go inside, you will see some functions of managing the town. As festivities there, you enjoy, that is different town, but in the meantime, you enjoy the thing. And not only that, for that purpose, there is a belief that our towns are protected by Astanavritas, the eight mother goddesses, they protect our town. And to do that, we have got, say, this is Jimmy. In Jimmy, we have got, not only in Jimmy, in Patan, in Kathmandu, everywhere it is there, I'm just getting an example of Jimmy, where we have got eight goddesses, right? Eight goddesses in eight corners of the town. And these, they believe that these goddesses protect us from external enemies. And we do have internal enemies also, like diseases, the fight between within the family, or outside with the neighbors. And those kind of things are taken care of by these goddesses. So they have these temples outside, their shrines, and they also have their devakin inside the town, and where they also worship. So every god will have their temple outside, goddesses will have temple outside, and also a shrine inside the temple. And that is how these Astamatrikas are protecting our, and that is the belief. And what they do is, during that time, during this festival, they start cleaning the room. When the festival is going to start, maybe after 15 days or month, already they start managing, cleaning up the roads, because this is going to be a big festivity. They maintain that road, they maintain their walkways, they maintain, clean up the drains and everything, whatever they need to do, they do it voluntarily. There's no need to say, the municipality doesn't need to say, send sweepers to do that. They do it there, in their own community, they will do that. And that is how the towns are managed. And here, you see, there is, this is very interesting, that they go with Chirag, with the torch. They have this evening or night festivals. They go in 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, they have to go to the temple. So they go with the torches, right? It is not only managing the city, it is also protecting the city. On those days, there are no paid armies, regular armies were not there. All the youth are the army. They used to have fight with another community, another town. So this is a kind of rehearsal of those fighting. So you go with the torches, and in some places what they do is they will have different types of what called music instruments. But in some states what they do is they play not the rejoiceful in the songs or the music. They go with the music of dead body, right? As if that somebody is dead and they are taking that dead body. So all those practices are a preparation for the protection war for the youth. Those kind of things happen. If you go more inside, I don't have much of the time, so I can't explain much on this. But that is how the towns are managed. Okay. That is what I said. Annual cleaning and weeding and seldom visited outskirt area. Otherwise, they do not go there. So there, for these festivities, it is then maintained. And maintenance of walkways, trails, and the temples, and all those the infrastructures, they do that. And they bring people together. And they forget their differences. This is how it does. Like giving you an example again of the Chimney of that 32 chariots. Do you know what are those, these chariots, which gods are there? Almost all of them are Ganesha. Meaning, they are Sthan Ganesh. The 32 toes are there and 32 Ganeshas are coming there. Meaning that they have to come up with their chariot. And it is a kind of competition among the chariots. Who go fast, who go bad, with a decorated this chariot and everything. There's a kind of competition. To do that competition, these people have to talk to each other, right? In their neighborhood. In the neighborhood, it is the because of the neighborhood, always they will have some kind of small things and issues and they fight. And they don't speak to each other. But these festivals bring them together. Otherwise, they can't pull this chariot by themselves only. So they forget about differences and they come together. They'll say uncle, they'll say, oh, my cousin, or whatever they have to say, and then they start coming in this chat. That is how the community is organized. And similar thing is there in Kathmandu, which is what you call Upako, or in Nalipur, it is Madaya, or Nepu Jatra. It is hosted every year in Nepu Jatra, is organized, the responsibility is taken by one toll to another toll. The 8 or 10 toll, they get responsibility. And what does that mean? If every time, if my toll is taking that, then I will try to do the best possible to have this Jatra very much successful. To do that, we try our best. And that kind of competition is so good for the city management that you don't have to say anything. But nowadays, if the municipality starts distributing money, they will say, oh, that toll was this much and we didn't get, and that kind of thing starts coming up, divided. But here, they take their responsibility and they will say that, okay, my son-in-law is going to come, their family, the son-in-law, their family is also coming there. If they come to my toll, and if it is ugly, dirty and whatever, then that is a shame for us. So let's try to do best in my term. And that is how they make these festivals more rejoiceful, more clean, more better. And this is the, in Kathmandu, this is the real old original boundary of Kathmandu. They go all around. And when they go all around, that means every year they do that, and if there is something broken, something, and it will be their responsibility to manage that. And that is how they do it. Now, coming to, again, some rejoiceful thing. We say, Kaina Vaiko Jatra Hanigama. Hanigama Jatra Ka Ganapem, Kalita Kulto Raslanta, Nya Lagera, Kwacho Pokarima Lagera, Pure Raslanta, Manjara, Samplam, Tumplam, Narada. होइन कहिले आउँछ जात्रा भनेर अब हामीले नबुझा मान्छेहरू भनिरहेको छौँ त्यो जात्रा चाहिँ किन गरिरहेछ त्यसरी भन्ने कुरो चाहिँ यदि खोज्ने हो भने द्याट वुड बी भेरी इन्ट्रेस्टिङ द्याट इज दे ब्रिङ दिस इन टु अ पन्ट द पन्ट द्याट इज म्यान मेड पन्ट अलमोस्ट अल अफ द पन्ट इन काठमाडौँ भ्याली एक्सेप्ट फ्यु लाइक नाग अर द टौड इफ यु लिभ द्याट then most of the, almost all of the ponds or the tanks, how we call it in English, are man-made. These man-made ponds have one difficulty is it needs to be watertight, and to make it watertight, they do some functions. Now, we see only this jatra. They say that the ornaments of the one of the goddess was lost here, so they need to go and find out those the ornaments. That is what the Anakurnepoke is. That is what they say. But what they do is actually they are maintaining that pond. They are maintaining that pond, meaning how they are maintaining that pond is, you know, I don't know, in your country for the other colleagues, how you do rice plantation, you have a rice plantation. In rice plantation, for rice plantation, we have to have a standing water. Otherwise, rice is actually wetland plant. So it has to have a rice standing water. In rice plantation, what we do is, we play with mud, water, and whatever. It's not just for enjoyment. Actually, what we are doing is we are serving, so we are trying to keep the water standing. When you mix water with clay, then it forms a sort of thin film on the top surface beneath the water that it retains the water. It doesn't allow the water to infiltrate, percolate easily. And that is what needs to be done to keep the pond throughout the year standing water. And that is what they are trying to do. And not only that, in Kirtipur also they do that during the time of Gai Jatra. And this is from Hari Siddhi. In Hari Siddhi, they do this. They say that from the Fulsuki Mai is coming down, and they say that the Vasundhara Mai is coming up, and these are the senior most people of Hari Siddhi, and this is called Gyapuru, at the center of the town. And in this pond, first these old guys swing in, and then they allow other youths to swing in, and they swing from all directions. They mix the water in such a way that, after all, the pond is stagnant, and then the water is retained there. And not only that, here, this is again in Kittipidi. If you know Kittipidi, on the way to Thangod, you know Gurdwara. Next to Gurdwara, there is a settlement which is responsible for taming elephants. So it is their town. What they do is they have got different story there. They say that the lakhe need a blood of chicken. Or a rooster. And what they do is, 1 or 2 days before, there is a Kapati community who comes and they sterilize the pond, and they are not supposed to touch the water until the lakhe comes. And on the day of Gayatra, the lakhe comes, and they were sacrificed with this two rooster, and their blood, when it is poured into this pond, and it is allowed to top the water, and all the youth, they jump into the pond to swim, and that is how they manage their pond. And same thing is here in Mataya, you go to Prayag Pokhari, right? And they say that you have to cross that pond, you have to enter into the pond. That is what they say, because they say, I don't know how to translate in Nepal English, they say, Baitarani Tarne, Kolani, Kya Vada Janu Parsha, Kya Pukhu Vada Janu Parsha. And you can have, unfortunately, they have now plastered and done all hanky-panky things there, but still, that is how people are moved into the pond to manage that. There are few others in Kokana, in Chini, in Bori, and there are many other settlements they have with these kind of things. And if in Bhaktapur, on the Gunpuni, that is the full moon day, the Dhani Pune in Nepali, what they call. On that day, full moon day, they go to wash 9 cities, they say Gupuri, Sikhe Gudaka. And all people go to visit these, meaning that maintaining those cities. And in Kathmandu, Sundara, many people think that we all were taught in the school that Dinjin Thapa built this Sundara, and that is not true. That is not true. I can give you several other reasons, but here it is. In Maru there are the Manandas are there. Their Maru Manandas have to go on Vaishakh Ekadri, the first day of Vaishakh. They go to Vasundhara and pray there. They worship there and come back, and they take bath in this city, and then only they can go back home. That is how it is. The intangible heritage is, intangible practices are protecting these things. And there are many. I will not go to all this, but there are annual, tri-annual, 12 years festivals of water management, water shrine, visiting these water shrines are there. Like Kumbeshwar festival here, Lutipuni in Balasore, Balasu festival, the full moon day in Vaishakh, and similarly there are many, like tri-annual in this Mansegaon, and similarly 12-year festivals in Godavari, Panavati, etc. And among that, the largest is the festival of Bhumadeva, of Machandranath Jatra. And in this Jatra, what they say is, this happens in Vaishakh, yes, it's coming up pretty soon. And in the spring, but in the dry period, and in that dry period, what they say is, to start this festival, all strategic ponds, it need to be filled with water. And during the dry period, how can you fill water in a pond? It's not just possible, there's no rain. But what does it mean is, as I said, the Devas doesn't say directly, what they mean is, you clean up the canal that is bringing water to these ponds, so that people from this Nugat, from Sundara, and all people go up to Dholaiti to clean up every year. They used to do that practice, but there until this ring road was constructed. Now after ring road, they have already not practicing those practices anymore. But that is how people are mobilized to manage these festivals and they are giving. It is so participatory. There is a day the women will pull this chariot. There are several other. Each and every caste and priest in this town are involved in the making of this festival. So that is how this festival is a very longest festival also, and people believe on that, they enjoy, but in the meantime they manage their towns and cities through these enjoyments. Last is again is the festival. When you have these festivals and this, but you also have budgeting. Did you take well or not, right? That is very interesting thing. The auditing of the festival. You know, auditing is in the government, you know, if you spend something that at the end of the fiscal year, the auditor comes and says that, okay, you did this thing right or wrong and whatever. And similar thing is done also in the festival, auditing of the public event. Particularly that Machendranath Dhatra, that is done in Tika Bhairav, Baduk Bhairav temple, where these are the priests. The priests, they do what they call the Mansha Uti Yajna, and in that yajna, they have this guy, there's a pot in his hand, there's one pair of fish is there, and there is, if you see, there's a small cage there. Inside the cage, there's a pair of birds up there, right? Pair of birds is there. And he says that, okay, I have done my best to make it successful. I haven't taken any personal advantage, whatever. He tells in front of this temple, and ultimately he says that this year the festival was quite successful, and whatever here in a decorative words he has to say, he will tell that this is the year of this priest, and he read it out, and then once he read it out, and that is that the board is left, the released to send that message to the heaven in the sky, and the priest is left in this pond. Unfortunately, this is enclosed one. This is going to be rebuilt again. That's a good part of it. But it is released to send the message to the underneath the earth. I don't know what is the term in English. The patal mane, the khabar pathaunu ko lagi chhodne karan cha. Last month, what went wrong? What we learned? Kya bhayo ta? यत्रो सबै मैले कथा भने अब के भयो त भन्दाखेरि समथिङ वेन्ट रङ लङ टाइम ब्याक इट्स नट टुडे एन्ड द फर्स्ट थिङ इन माई ओपिनियन इज समथिङ डन ड्युरिङ द सहा डाइनेस्टी पर्टिकुलरली द राणा वी हेभ गट द्याट कन्जर्भेसन कन्सेप्ट द कन्सेप्ट अफ टाउन मेकिङ टाउन द्याट यु लिभ इन अ क्लस्टर लिभ द एग्रिकल्चर ल्यान्ड एन्ड दिस गाइज दिस रुलर्स They started making a big plot of their palaces, and they destroyed the ecological concept of the system, the whole township system, and these all palaces, you know, they started enclosing. How big are they? I have calculated, I forgot the size, but whole Chini town can be incorporated into Shivadarbar, that big. Shivadarbar is as big as Chini town. So you think about the people who can live there, and a prime minister at the time can live there. So this is the problem. And at present, survived as a ritual, and many of those understood as superstition. So okay, these are the superstition. Yeah, rudimentary kurari is that kind of thing. I'm just a young generation. We think that this is a stupid thing. My mother is doing, my grandmother is doing, but we don't try to understand what exactly the story behind that. And what I'm trying to these lectures, what I'm trying to tell you is, let's try to understand what is the things behind. There are superstitions are also there. But let's try to find out how that can be managed in the present time. This is one very good example I don't want to lose. I really would like to tell you. Hore Jatra. We all know Hore Jatra. Just happened a few weeks back. And, no, it's coming up, right? it's coming. And in Ghori Yatra, what they do is, in Ghori Yatra, it's a kind of, actually, that was a traditional festival there in Kathmandu, that you have got a horse and that is given some alcohol and they run and whatever they do. But that is the new king from the mountains. When he came, he wanted to show off. And what he did is he used all his regular army to show off the strength. And they organized this whole Dabra. And actually, if you see, this is on this day, we have got a public holiday to observe this Dabra. Right? The state sponsored Ghori Yatra. And who participates? All these army people, all the government officials and all. But next to it, there is another Dabra. That Dabra is again Pahantare. This same time that is happening. That one, the state sponsored, next. And you see the people is sponsored. All people are participating there. With this red cap, yellow cap, green cap, I don't know how many caps are there. And these people are, they have got their own chariot and they take their goddesses in the chariot and run here and there. They enjoy, they rejoice, they take part. But when the state did not include people, and then the state has to spend so much money every year, the state spends all this money to organize this festival. And what I'm trying to say is, participation of people is so much important in city management. And if you do not make them participate, that means you lose it. So we have to do so many things in an artificial way, right? So after 1950, nobody dared to understand the philosophy behind the word ecosystem city and tried to enhance it in the changed context. And unfortunately, I'm really sorry to show this picture, and this is Kathmandu. So we turn this beautiful land into this, and we converted Kathmandu into this thing. Now, what are the lessons? Lessons we learn. The community involvement makes city owned by the community. City management becomes much more easier. You don't have to say, they'll do it by themselves. And city becomes livable and vibrant. The challenge, however, is how to translate this approach in the new context, the present context, because the way of living has already changed. There are no more farmers. Now farmland has already turned into housing colonies. So how to translate that? That is the challenge. How to bring the youth here, right? So it's not only the traditional thing. Now you have to go for these kind of dances. Where is the place for that? If the city doesn't provide, if the community doesn't provide, definitely people start feeling they are aloof, they are not integrated into into the whole community, and that doesn't happen. But now, fortunately, these are things happening. And these are the pictures of recent pictures. The women who used to just watch the festivities from the windows, they do not dare even to come to the street. Now, they are the part of the whole function, right? You see the women drinking the beer in Kathmandu during Indradhapra. It's so enjoyable. So there is not only the dark part, we do have interesting things happening. And the lesson again I learned is, this is next to my house, very close to my house on the riverbank. What I'm trying to say is, no iron bars. When we say public, it's public. You should not restrict people to go enter, enjoy it. Whether it is a pond, like what we have done in Rani Pokhari, all the fences, or when you do any of the places, any of the temples. Now, so many that the politicians always have, we have to protect it, so let's have a fence, the iron fence and this and that. I think that will depart community of people from taking part into the public activities. And this is, I just wanted to show that this was a very nice corridor on the riverbank of Bagmati that was built. Now some guys have the idea that some people have just crossed it once or twice, and they said, oh, that's a very bad thing happening. And he added one more fence and tried to make it. You see how inattractive, how needy these bars are compared to the same place. So no more iron bars. I think that should be the approach the city should be taking. City management becomes easier. The lesson, this is, I'm proud, I've got my friend also here. We used to work for Kathmandu Metropolitan City, and this mandala, there used to be the houses, Maitigar mandala. We built it. When we built it, we have got in mind that this should be a public place. So no more fences, nowhere. You'll see no more fences there. So we don't want fence. Now, this became one of the most democratic, space for the people nowadays. If they say, if you have got something to shout, if the government is not listening, all people go there and start shouting. This is the democratic center that we have. We are so proud that we did that. People, okay, think that actually at the time, there was a fight between Mir and Deputy Mir that whether we should put a fence or not. A long discussion that happened, and ultimately we could come up without fence. And now if you see that there are some, thorny plants have been planted again, unfortunately, in these days, but we expected, it is just like a shop that needs to be constructed. So this is how we have tried to address. After all, people have emotions. How to earn that trust? So address the youth, address the woman, create space for participation. And how to utilize people's emotions in city management in business context. That is, I'm not answering that. That's a question to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, B.S. sir, for that excellent telling of history. And as it encounters the present time, as a matter of both conflict and continuity, what we have is we started 15 minutes late, and we've gone a little over time, the scheduled time. So we will probably allocate no more than 20 to 30 minutes for Q&A. But I just wanted to say a couple of things very quickly before we continue the discussion or the Q&A session of the talk. This is both public lecture, and this is also part of the ongoing International Spring School, which is part of the multi-year research project called Heritage as Placemaking. It's also a collaborative project between four different institutions. South Asian University in Delhi. We have Christiana Brosius from Center for Transcultural Studies, Heidelberg University. We have Cecily Lotter from School of African and Oriental and African Studies, SOAS University of London. The Executive Director, Deepak Patwa from Social Science Baha, is here. The Spring School is envisioned, designed and delivered by Monica Martin from Heidelberg University, and Vinita Magaya and Mona Lisa Martin from Social Science Baha. Why do you come up with questions and thoughts of your own? In keeping with the theme of the Spring School, I would like to ask a question to BSL that could sound tricky, but I hope it is, both philosophical and legal. Given the nature, the length and breadth of your presentation, the question is, could we conceive of Newar now, whether that is Kathmandu, Bhaktapur, or Patan, as a theater? And if it can be conceived as one, as a theater, what is the theme or name of the dominant performance that is at play, the dominant one? And how is the theme of the performance itself is changing over time throughout history, coming to the present time? And if we were to identify some of the critical performers
in the break, who or what would they be? And how is the identity of these performers themselves changing over time? So those are the three somewhat convoluted questions. But here we go.
Shall I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you for that's such a difficult question. Actually, I don't have answer for that, but I try. Well, you know, as I see towns every time, like a few days back, not even last week, right? We have this samyak here. Every 5 years that happens. The whole pattern was enjoying with that samyak. So all people are involved. The involvement of people, I think, is the most fundamental thing in city management, ownership, enjoyment of life, and whatever you call it. People are poor, that doesn't matter. But if you can smile, if you can enjoy the thing, that is the most important thing. Now, the city, whether you talk about Kathmandu pattern, Bhaktapurra, you call it Cheto, Thasi, Thali, Thing, whatever, all those names, you'll find their places for performance. No, that the stage is already prepared. The only thing is you need to act. And to act, you need to mobilize people. As I said, don't order them, so okay, you go and perform this. That's not going to happen. You try to create the thing, they will definitely do that. So it's the performance is always there. But when I say performance, now it's not only the youth. Now as our society is slowly, gradually aging, the old people, would they really need? I will tell you one story about one of my relatives who lived in Lalitpur, in Patan, near to the, in Bakumba, let's say, that is next to the Darbar Square. And he got ill. He had to go for this, continuously provide this oxygen aid. And this big oxygen cylinder bringing inside is so difficult. He has three sons and two of the sons are living outside the town. And because the oxygen cylinder is difficult to bring oxygen cylinder inside, he was moved to one of his sons' place. And he lived there. Every day he's asking, when am I going to back to our old house? Every day he was asking. And it was not the situation, and for months and months he could not come back. And one day he was a little bit, you see, very much recovered. Very much, I don't know how you call it in English. Ekdam anuharma pani ke rako, ekdam madako. Tesko dekhisakeko thiyo, okay. So my father is saying so much asking for that, and they brought him into the town, and he went there. Visited his old friends on the street, not at home, as we saw earlier, in the street, in this Falta and all. They stayed, they gossiped, they talked, and after 4 or 5 hours staying there, he was so happy, he went back. And on that day, he passed away. You see, the feeling of people, of the place is so important. Now, if you respect that feeling of those communities, that is very much important. And that I'm talking about the communities, I'm talking about the age group of the late, right, the old ones. I'm not talking about only those. You people, myself included, if we have those kind of rejoicement in this town, then I will expect the same in the coming years. So let's combine that youth and the old together into the town. Let's have a performance that is related to them. That could be in the music, that could be, you know, the bhajan that we do in the evening. I think that will make the city resourceful. And I think, I don't know if I answered your question or not, but that is what I feel about the town.
Thank you. So now it's yours. Please feel free to ask questions, and but I'll say this in the interest of time, but it's short. and try to make it precise. I'll take three questions at a time, and I'll start with you.
And it can be in English, Nepali, whatever language you feel comfortable. Do you also want to identify yourself?
Yeah.
Introduce yourself.
Namaste, PSR, Pavidana Live. My name is Pavisha Shrestha. Good evening, everyone. I'm Pavisha Shrestha. And I'm an architect and urban planner. I had to go somewhere else. I had to be heading home right now. But PSR presentation, it's always so interesting and I couldn't leave it. And I always had this question about nearby towns and planning. So I try to keep it short. So all the nearby towns are not much nearby now because there's gentrification. In every nearby town right now, Sasanlu, Lalitpur, Bhaktapur, or even the satellite towns. So due to this gentrification, do you think that the placemaking can only be of those cultural activities, historical, that rituals, and the traditions that we follow, or there can be some other activities, or some new or noble approach in those placemaking? Thank you. That would be my question.
So let's take the second one from over there, and then there's a third question out there. Far up to the left.
Hello, Namaste. I'm Kapil Sora. So my question is, whenever we are looking into these rituals and ancient practices, what I'm observing is we are only trying to see these things with our current positioning. We are not really trying to look into its certain other significances. For an example, there could be some spiritual significance attached to it, to those rituals. There could be some superstitions as well. And there could be, some political or trade-related significances as well. And what I've seen in your presentation here is it's really good presentation, but what you are mainly focusing is on the conservation side of it that are associated with the ritual. But when it comes in the topic of conservation as well, probably the idea of conservation has came in that time when we really have to think about the conservation. Maybe 100 years back, 200 years back, we really do not have to think about the conservation as well. So this is my question.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Itta.
Namaste sir, I'm Pravita Shrestha. My question is, I have very kind of belongingness for concepts of this, and that I have always admired Salsa, Satal and those private public spaces. But what I have also been noticing is, I'll give three places of examples. There is a kind of, I don't know, should I call it Salsa, Satal, anything, which I have to say about Khankura, it is just a one at home, so we pick it up and we go. And also, the pattern goes so well, not only funny. त्यहाँ चाहिँ हाम्रो ट्रिक्सहरू मिठाईहरूको हुन्छ त्यहाँ बनाइरहनु भएको हुन्छ भने अर्को चाहिँ एसियन भाषाभन्दा सिमीमा पनि त्यहाँ चाहिँ अब नेपाली आइटम्सको त्यो उपहरू सञ्चालन भइरहेको हुन्छ नि सो इज आर दिस दिस इज लाइक डेफिनेटिभ यो नै यसको लागि फोकस हो भन्ने हो कि एज लाइक यु सेड इन यो प्रेजेन्टेसन कि देव आर द प्लेसेस फर पब्लिक पर्पजेस भनेर बट दे हेभ बिन काइन्ड अफ क्याप्चर नि त Is it that the context has changed? Is there something that I'm missing out?
Okay, so we'll stop here and then we'll go for the second round.
Okay. पहिला हाम्रो सदिक क्षेत्रको क्वेश्चन चाहिँ gentrification. That is really a challenge. And when I say challenge, I'm also in the middle. We can't go behind. So So we have to look forward. In that context, when we talk about festivities, I have written one article on this Indradatta. What I was saying there is, जो मान्छे इन्द्रजात्रामा रमेको छैन त्यो काठमाडौँमा जमेको छैन. इन्द्रजात्रामा रम्न नसकेको मान्छे काठमाडौँमा जमेको छैन. उसले बुझेकै छैन ए यहाँहरूले गर्दाखेरि गर्नु गर्नु त्यो किन भन्नु पऱ्यो. आफ्नो पार्टिसिपेट गर, यु सुड ओपन अप टु मेक देम पार्टिसिपेट. द्याट इज फर द नेवार कम्युनिटी, बट फर अदर कम्युनिटी दे स्टार्ट अन्डरस्ट्यान्ड एन्ड रेस्पेक्ट टु पार्टिसिपेट. Both things have to be done. Let's not limit it ourselves, because now we can't stop. Okay, you are from mountains, you go out, you go out. You can't do that. So it's a different culture. If it is different, then you have to provide space for that. Having said that, we really need to think about this gentrification, particularly because of this economic dimensions, right? फाइनेन्सियली इट इज म सबभन्दा बढी कसले पैसा दियो त्यसलाई घर बेचेर हिँडिदियो. अब बस्ने मान्छेले बुढिया छैन अनि त्यसपछि अब आउँछ त्यो गुँला पुनिमा चाहिँ बिहान बाजा बजार गर्ने चार चार बजेदेखि मेरो निन्द्रा बिगार्ने भनेर ढुङ्गा हान्न बेर्छ होइन. त्यसैले त्यो आस्पेक्टलाई चाहिँ वास्तवमा कल्चरली कन्जर्भ गर्नको लागि टुगेदर छलफल गर्नु पऱ्यो कि. यही गर भनेर रेसिपी चाहिँ मसँग नबुझ्नु छैन, तर छलफल एटलिस्ट नगरपालिकाले त गर्नु पर्यो नि, वडा व्यक्तिहरूले गर्नु पर्यो, टोलको मान्छेहरूले गर्नु पर्यो. कसरी बसाउने त, उसको प्रब्लम के हो त, होइन उसको गाडी नै त्यहाँभित्र छिर्दैन, ऊ कहाँ म यहाँ बस्ने भन्छ भने उसलाई त्यहाँबाट 10 मिनट पर चाहिँ गाडीको चाहिँ कुनै पार्किङको व्यवस्था पो गर्न सकिन्छ कि. होइन, देयर वाज वान टाइम वेन द पिपल हु माइग्रेटेड फ्रम आउटसाइड फ्रम द डाउन टाउन टु सरी फ्रम द कोर एरिया टु आउटसाइड, दे वान्टेड टु कम ब्याक. When there was so much of insecurity outside, I'm talking about during the time of the Maoist insurgency, they wanted to come back because they are not feeling so safe. But in your town, what happened was, in one of the place, there was one, I give you the example of the place, you know, Nyakatukar in Patan. You many people know that Nyakatukar is a big courtyard, and they do have this water system, water rationing system, because of not having adequate water. They are supposed to have start from this hour to that hour, and there was one guy who was renting a room there, who happened to be from the chief district officer's office. He was some senior office there. He wanted to have water even beyond that time, and the local guy said no, and they had a fight. And they, after they had a fight, this guy is from the government, he brought all the police and try to take all those youths who were involved in that fighting to take to the police station. And there was a bell. They rang a bell and the whole community came in, and the police gave the vehicles had to run away from that. So that kind of security is there inside. Now if you try to see that, show that how secure inside, how your old mother or father is just basking on the sun in Falta. You don't find in my place in Baneswar or Maharajganj or anywhere there in Kopundol, you don't find that. So if we try to show that, and that is possible, I think that must have on that. And second one is, I think is really understand the question Kapilji asked, that spiritual and, well, what at least what I can say is, it is again conservation. Yes, I am from the conservation side. When I say conservation side, I am not talking about living in the history. When I say conservation, try to learn all those good things from the history and try to think about future and try to live today. So conservation is definitely, if the stories that I told today, if that is interesting to you, if that helps to govern our town, then we should not shy away to learn from that. Let's try to learn from that. The spiritual and, you know, superstitions, these are very personal things also. So I think I leave that to the person who believes on that, how they believe. But
In general, we are talking about conservation. Because we are living in a 2 millennium old town. We are not living in a new town somewhere else. But this is the old town, then if you want to live in the old town, you have to behave like how that is demanded in old towns. Like you go to Paris or you go to, I don't know, the Venice and other towns, the heritage towns, you are supposed to do something what is demanded in that area. I think I go with that one. The third one is Pratita Shrestha talking about Falta. I don't know the three references you have given. I do not exactly know what that location is. But your question is, can this Falta or the party, this rest house, can be used for private purposes? Right? That is what I understand. Because somebody goes there and opens a shop, maybe a snack shop, and he or she is occupying for a long time. So, and it is his property or her property. No, it should not be. It should be public. When it is public, people can come, they enjoy their snacks, they can sell there, whatever they would like to do, but it should not be occupied for the long time. Maybe 2 hours for vegetable selling and rest of the time the elders are living there. And Lalitpur Metropolitan City has rightly done that. If I recall one of the news few months back that from Sundara to Tongal, all the falta which were occupied for selling, vending the goods, they removed that and saying that this should be a falta. I think we should go for that one. Okay.
So, I'm sorry, but in the interest of time, we'll take the last two questions. There's one from the gentleman over there. Angreji Nepali.
Okay, my name is Vishal Sarke. I'm from one of the beautiful city of beautiful place of Lalitpur, the Okubaha near Mahabuddha.
Yeah.
Yeah. My question to this, first of all, I was thanking Mr. Devi. Great presentation. My question is, what could be the appropriate method to revitalize these core cities? We all said that they must be revitalized and they could be regenerated or something like that, but what could be the proper method for that? That's my question.
Okay, thank you. One last question. I don't think it's going to be you. It's the one from the Bhadra Atai. Okay, we'll do last two. And then we
close.
I'm extremely sorry.
Thank you. I'm Surat Kumar. First of all, I want to thank PSL for this wonderful presentation. Before going to my actual question, I want to make a remark on the Chapa. For the Chapa culture, I don't know, what I felt like after seeing this presentation is that these days, maybe we want to live our life more lavish, and so we have been transforming our culture from sofa to this party palaces.
Yeah.
So that is, I think, for the conservation initiative, it has to come within us, by ourselves. So I'll go to my question. I was expecting in this presentation, I was expecting some views from about, these days now for last 10 years we have our directly elected representative in the community from within our community. We have our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your presentation, what do you think in the process of this revitalization of this Nevar town? What I missed and what I want you to state your opinion on what should be the proper role of these directly elected representatives within the community, what they can do for their state managed schemes that you showed. So I was wondering. So that is my question. What would be the role of the?
I think leader. आज को कार्यक्रम को अंतिम प्रश्न करता को सवाल है तो मैंने तो बोला सुनते हैं.
Thank you very much for time.
Yeah.
I'll be very content. And the good thing is, it's not a question, but actually I just wanted to share my perspective. So, good evening everyone. My name is Krishna Kumar Mohan. I'm an architect and planner, currently working under the Ministry of Urban Development. So, I belong to this pattern from the Nepal community. So, thank you, Joshi sir, for giving us the different dimensions that which I have not explored before. So, it is not a question, but I just want to share a perspective that everybody we are talking about how we can conserve now or how we can be better. So, I think it's all about the belongingness. If I think that I belong to this ritual, this festival, if I belong to this place, then only we will have the feeling of conserving. So I think from our childhood, from the very early childhood, it should be rooted in them that this place, this festival, this culture belongs to me. Then only we can conserve. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So two questions.
दुईटा क्वेसन छ. एउटा चाहिँ विश्व साक्यजीले मुकुभानबाट प्रपर रिभाइटलाइजेसन मेथड. आई थिङ्क रिभाइटलाइजेसन वान अफ द बिग च्यालेन्जेस द सिटी इज द अर्ली टाउन इज फेसिङ इज ओभर पपुलेसन. यु नो In 1969, Kathmandu Valley Physical Development Plan was prepared. At the time, the designer, the planner, suggested the government that this is overpopulated. So this needs to be corrected. You need to move the population outside, so this town needs to be conserved. 1969. And then again, there are so many studies, all studies would say that overpopulation, the conservation is needed. But never happened. And what happened is, due to the recent development in this construction technology, you can go as high as possible. But when you go as high as possible, you can't widen your road as wide as possible. How can that be possible? We are creating a kind of death trap. So definitely land use plan is one of the fundamental things. And that is not only for the traditional towns. It is for all areas, all townships in Nepal. That is the most important thing that needs to be done. And try to make the life differently livable. Nowadays the motorcycles. Yesterday I was with two of my Japanese friends roaming around Lalitpur. I was so disappointed. They were so disappointed that every time from this side the motorbike comes, from this side motorbike, and I'm trying my best to escape the main roads, trying to go into gullies, you know, the nannies and gullies, and trying to do that. So that is one of the biggest challenges. So try to see if you want to revitalize, meaning how to reduce that pressure in this area. But there are many other things that can be suggested. There is one very important thing that needs to be done. Second question is from Suraj Khanalji about the process of revitalization again, right? Again, and proper roles within the community. But before that, when you before that, when you talk about Sapa, I really would like to say that if in Newar town they have got Sapa, the community building, let's put it this way, in a normal term. If you have got a community building, why the municipality is not investing on building a community building in other towns outside the core town? You know that community building is such an important component in community making that if you have a community building, people are so much united. They live together, sit together, talk together, and try to come up with something new. So
I don't think that community building like Chapa is only good for these traditional towns. It's equally good for other areas, newly built areas on that. But when you say the political representatives, like what are they, what's the role? They are doing, in a way, one very good thing is revitalization, to some extent the public space improving part they are doing. But my suggestion would be more, let's invest on community, not the structure. They are more interested in making falsa, making this, making that. But the Guji is going being destroyed, right? People are migrating out. How to keep them? Let's invest. If the Nagarpalika says, the municipality says that, okay, I want to invest on this, then if it is a construction thing, they will immediately approve it. And if it is going for a Guji or for a certain sort of tradition, conservation of tradition, training dance or the music instrument, okay, we need to think. Oh, so much money for that. But if they talk about Falta or Hiti or Savaz or paving the road, they will be much more happy to do that. I think they need to change it. Invest on people. So it is more important to invest on people than infrastructure. And you know that none of these communities, even the community, always what they demand is, I want a paved road, I need a drain, I need this. All physical things. They never said that, okay, we are the community group and we want to do something together. And that part is missing. I think that is the important part missing at this point of time.
Okay. Thank you. So, thank you all for coming. Unfortunately, we have to call it a day in the interest of time and the reading of time. On behalf of the Spring International Spring School team, I would like to, as a thank you note, I would like to give this beautiful bag with a beautiful book by Niels Gustav inside called The Rock and Stone.
There it is. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, everyone.